Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. Above a Burger King on Rue St. Catherine, there's a firm called Dickens and Madsen Canada. But there is no Dickens, and there is no Madsen. There is Ari Ben Menashe. If you Google the term, warlord's favorite lobbyist, it's his name that comes up in report after report. Ben Menashe worked for Robert Mugabe, the liberator of Zimbabwe turned tyrant. He represented the interests of Libyan warlord Khalifa Haftar, who currently faces legal action in the U.S. for alleged war crimes. Ben Menashe signed a $6 million contract with Sudan's Transitional Military Council, who later massacred around 100 protesters in 2019. Ben Menashe criticized the massacre, but kept the money and continued to work for his client. And that's the boring stuff on Ari Ben Menashe's biography. He has been an Israeli spy, an arms dealer to Iran, the target of at least one RCMP investigation. He is the survivor of a firebombing. He crossed paths with Jeffrey Epstein. Remember the Iran-Contra affair? He was in there too. Ben Menashe was born in Tehran in 1951. His family fled that country for Israel. Iran was not a safe place for Jews. His fluency in Persian, English, Hebrew, and Arabic made him an asset to Israeli intelligence, on whose behalf he sold U.S. warplanes to Iran. He got caught by the Americans for that, and he turned on Israel, and they turned on him. He fled for Australia, but they wouldn't take him. Canada did, and now his registered office address is above a Burger King in downtown Montreal. And I had no idea that he existed until last week. I lived around the corner from that Burger King. I think I stopped in for the occasional late-night Whopper and had no idea that the most interesting man in Canada may have been influencing world events directly above me. And that is not hugely surprising, I guess. I mean, aren't guys like Ari Ben Menashe supposed to walk between the raindrops, influencing governments from the shadows, the unseen hand? But that is not Ari Ben Menashe's style. Last week, it was revealed that he's got a new gig working for, guess who? The military junta that just staged a coup in Myanmar. On February 1st, Myanmar's generals seized power and detained Aung San Suu Kyi, whose party was democratically re-elected last November. And the reason why the press knows about Ari Ben Menashe's $2 million U.S. contract to cape for those generals of Myanmar, the same generals who have since killed dozens of anti-coup protesters and detained around 2,000 more. The reason why that shocking tidbit about Ari Ben Menashe leaked out is because Ari Ben Menashe leaked it. This guy writes books. He does interviews. And today, he's going to do one with me. But here's the thing. This guy's job is to tell the world a new tale about the military junta to help ease the generals out of their role as international pariahs sanctioned by the U.S. and decried for their atrocities. But the thing about flipping that narrative is that the atrocities are well documented. Here are some established facts for you before we go any further. In 2017, Myanmar's military cracked down on Rohingya Muslims with mass rapes and murder. They torched villages. More than 700,000 Rohingya fled to Bangladesh. Suu Kyi was state councillor at the time, which is akin to prime minister. In 2018, a report of the Independent International Fact-Finding Mission on Myanmar, established by the United Nations Human Rights Council, found that the country's military leaders were directly responsible for the atrocities, recommending that they be investigated and prosecuted for genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. In 2019, in a case brought against Myanmar at the International Court of Justice in The Hague, Aung San Suu Kyi defended the military against charges of genocide. So that's the factual record as we have it at the moment. And as curious as I am to talk to Ari Ben-Menashe, I'm just not willing to help him get a counter-narrative out there, a counter-narrative to those facts. And I do have wider reservations about this guy. Given that a judge called him unreliable and Israel called him a pathological liar, I'm pretty nervous about putting him on this show. Of course, on the other hand, Ben-Menashe was a source for the legendary reporter Seymour Hersh, and his information has been reliable enough for reporter Julian Piquet, who broke this current story about the Myanmar lobbying contract on his website, foreignlobby.com. And Julian is with me now. So Julian, what should I be preparing for with this guy?
I think it's fair to say that he operates very differently from other lobbyists that I cover and that we cover. In this particular case, this gentleman is a very different actor. He plays upon this idea that he's, you know, kind of an international man of mystery that's very well connected with a number of countries around the world, particularly Israel, particularly the UAE, and that he can get these different actors to sort of work together behind the scenes on obtaining results that, you know, Western governments might not necessarily be upfront about speaking about. And I think it's fair to say that it's very unusual for people who do this kind of work to be so public about it. I'm sure there are other people who do similar things, work with different entities around the world. And of course, in the United States, we've seen a number of people, particularly since 2016, you know, go to prison for doing lobbying illegally in the sense of not disclosing it. And Mr. Ben-Menashe is very public about what he does. I mean, he puts those contracts out there for everybody to see, the astronomical amounts that are involved, that he says he is being paid. Again, all I can tell you is that these are documents that are filed with the Department of Justice. And to me, anyway, lying on paper to the Justice Department about your clients and how much you're being paid just doesn't make a ton of sense.
So as far as you can tell, he is who he says he is. He works for who he says he works for. And, you know, there's plenty of people out there making grandiose claims about their central role in world events. But he does actually seem to be a player in these global conflicts.
I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's not.
So as far as you can tell, he doesn't lie about who he's lying for. From your journalism, my understanding is that he wants the world to rethink these military leaders, violent warlords who have initiated a military coup. He would rather that we think that they actually were, you know, Aung San Suu Kyi was primarily responsible for the crimes against the Rohingya. These generals reflect the will of the people. And if you side with the generals, you can bring Myanmar into the sphere of influence of the United States, but Aung San Suu Kyi will bring them closer into alliance with China. And so the smart money is on let's be friends with them and let's lift the sanctions. Is that generally the story that he's telling?
As I understand it for now, yes. I think what's interesting here to me anyway is that I really don't think that this public relations campaign is aimed at you or me. I think it is aimed more at intelligence agencies, you know?
So why do you think he's so forthcoming? Do you think he likes the publicity?
I do. Yes.
At the considerable risk of giving him more of what he wants, let's talk to Ari Ben-Menashe, joining me in a moment from Montreal. Wait for it. This episode is brought to you by Jason McLennan, Cassie Muis, Josh Patlick, Sean Vanderklis, Sandy Boucher, Deborah Gervin, Natasha Silva, and Nels.
I'm Nels, a video game designer from Vancouver, and I support Canada Land for its dedication to reporting truth and to independence.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, therapy online that has served over 3 million people around the world, and it's available here in Canada. And this time of year, we're all emerging from our winter like seclusion and, you know, patio season and socializing, and it can be terrifically fun, but it can also create a lot of pressure. And some people get like anxiety, social anxiety from being out too much. What did Iggy Pop say about social life? It's torture dressed as fun. It doesn't need to be torture. I think it's just about finding like the right balance of how much of other people do you want? I mean, we need each other, but I think that at a certain point, it can become overwhelming. And talking to somebody about yourself, about your social life, about your relationships is a way of gaining insight into what is right for you. It's not selfish to examine that with a professional. And as the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Listeners of the show get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. That's better, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/CanadaLand. This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. We got a tour of their facilities in their downtown Toronto campus, and I was blown away by the heroic work that these people are doing. They are saving lives every day. I know people whose lives were saved, and they just really care about the dignity of the people who turn to them for help. Look, we talk a lot about these issues on Canada Land. We talk about the crisis that is claiming 20 lives every day in Canada to drug overdoses, but we don't give you a lot of options of what you can do about it. CAMH is an option. CAMH desperately needs resources that they directly put into their work, saving lives and turning people's lives around. Listen, May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. This is when they need your help the most. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand to help CAMH treat addiction and build hope. Ari, you have one hell of a Wikipedia page.
Okay. We do what we do.
Yeah. I mean, you can't believe everything you read on Wikipedia. But by way of introduction, why don't we run through some of the stuff I read about you, and you could tell me yes or no, if it's true or not true.
Okay. Tell me.
All right. So apparently, in your life so far, you've been a prisoner. True?
True. I was arrested in the United States for selling weapons to Iran. I got acquitted because we proved that it was on behalf of the Israeli government. It was not a private deal.
So you did sell arms to Iran, but you did so on behalf of Israel, and thus you were acquitted.
That's right.
You were a spy.
Well, I was working for Israeli intelligence, military intelligence.
You were an arms dealer.
As I said, any arms sold by me was for the Israeli government, nothing private.
You were a refugee.
What does that mean?
You applied for refugee status in Australia?
Correct. After the trial, I needed the place to go because I testified in Congress against the Israelis and their activities. They weren't very happy about it.
Australia wouldn't take you, but Canada did.
That's right. But I wasn't going to stay in Australia. I just wrote my book there.
You've been a double agent.
What does that mean?
That means that Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe, his enemies, they thought they were hiring you to assassinate or arrange the assassination of Mugabe, but in fact, they did not know you were secretly working for Mugabe.
No. They did know that I was working for Mugabe. They tried to buy me. That's exactly a mistake. They came to us because they told us that since you know Mugabe and the palace and everything else, you can help us get rid of him. And they tried to buy us. They said, we'll pay you $30 million. I said, who's going to pay that money? Said, the British government.
So they knew you were working for Mugabe.
Oh yeah, they did.
People will remember United States Colonel Oliver North selling mm-hmm. arms to Iran in order to illegally fund a conflict in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. We only know about that because you broke that story. You brought the information to Time Magazine and others. Is that correct?
Correct.
It goes on and on. You were employed by an international drug lord, Paul LaRue.
No, sorry.
Okay.
Our company was hired by Paul LaRue, mm-hmm. who at the time was actually working for the U.S. government. Apparently, it went bad later.
He wasn't an international drug lord at the time?
No, he was America's favorite.
I think you could be both at the same time.
Maybe he was, but nobody knew about it.
Yet he hired your firm, and he hired you to lobby Zimbabwe to sublease farms back to dispossessed white farmers. Is that correct?
Yes, and we did.
And you did all of this, Ari, from your office in Montreal, which, you know, you don't know this, but your office is around the corner from my old apartment.
I see. Okay.
You're an interesting guy. I got to tell you, I feel like I'm interviewing a James Bond villain or something.
Well, we tend to think of ourselves as good guys.
Can you tell me, your firm is called Dickens and Madsen.
Yeah.
Who are Dickens and Madsen?
Dickens and Madsen was an old lobbying firm in Washington, D.C., which we bought.
And now Dickens and Madsen is being paid $2 million to rebrand Myanmar's military junta.
No, sorry. We are not paid. We will be paid when it would be legally possible to be paid.
This is an important detail. We're going to get to that. So you have a contract with the coup, with the military junta.
No. You guys don't have it right. You keep on talking about the coup and so on and so forth. That's not true. First of all, our company used to be a consultant to the Myanmar government in the 90s. This is not new for us. This is where you guys got it wrong.
And is that something that legitimizes the current, in your view?
And what legitimizes everything is the fact that this government in Myanmar has been around forever. Now, we helped them, we were trying to help them move towards a democracy, but we, at the time, recommended to everybody that Aung San Suu Kyi should not be part of any such government, because I knew her. I met her in 1986 in London as part of the Israeli government. And she was a real racist. And under her regime, she did in the Rohingyas. And we were appalled when she received the Nobel Peace Prize. We were appalled that she got the honorary Canadian citizenship. We were appalled with all that. And people seem to forget that only a month, 2 months ago, she was not acceptable, and she was drawn to the court in The Hague about this.
She was, and her the glorification of her as a human rights champion is definitely tarnished.
Yeah.
But your message, and it's not something that you decided out of the courage of your conviction necessarily.
Why not?
You have a message, which you can tell me if I'm getting it right or wrong. is that she and not the military leaders who are currently ruling Myanmar in what is described and widely acknowledged as a coup, she is responsible for the genocide of the Rohingya. That's the message that you want the world to know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But this message we should tell our listeners because we want them to have the facts. This is a message that you are sharing with the world and lobbying to the world's governments because those generals have retained your services and they will be paying you $2 million as soon as it is legally acceptable. Because if they were to pay you that now, then you would be in violation of the law because there are sanctions against taking their money.
That's correct. And now, there's more to it than that. You know, she got rid of all the Rohingyas. This government wants to bring them back.
These are the facts, Ari, that we know. More than 50 people have been killed during the military crackdown on the protests.
Okay, can I say something about this too? First of all, the military has nothing to do with the crackdown. It's the police. I know people say, it's different. It's a different arm. And the numbers are, in my opinion, too high. The military for many years actually kept the country together. And the country was pretty stable, but they decided to move on to some sort of democracy. And a lot of people in Myanmar knew she was the wrong person. She was the wrong person. But some people wanted her. They went ahead. And she was a failure.
So you're blowing against some pretty powerful winds here. The Biden administration sanctioned 10 Burmese officials, your employers. Also, three entities, U.S. Commerce Department imposed export controls.
That's correct. But we're hoping to change that once we explain everything. And the Myanmar, present Myanmar government is happy and willing to get closer to the United States. This is another point. They were very upset with Aung San Suu Kyi because she was pushing Myanmar in the hands of the Chinese. The generals are not pro-Chinese. They're pro-Western people. And they did not want to fall in the hands of the Chinese government. They wanted to be either neutral or close to the U.S. government.
You want to position them as a U.S. ally?
It's their wish.
And the threat is that if not, this could go to China. So let's fold this into a Cold War narrative. But to do that, you've got to disassemble facts. Like you've got to disassemble the 2019 UN report that found that the military supported brutal operations against ethnic groups, forced labor, sexual violence.
You have all that report. But who was in power at the time? They forgot. It was her. She was in power. Her party was in power. They had militias all over the country. It was her. These reports didn't exist before her government took over.
I have to thank you for this opportunity. It's to actually talk with somebody who is involved in this kind of narrative shift. You know, I think you can agree that there is a narrative right now.
Correct, there is, and it's a false narrative.
Your job is to change narratives, right?
My job is to bring about the true narrative.
Tell me about how you're going to get there. Like, how do you lobby governments? You're making yourself available to the media.
We make ourselves available to the media because we want to explain it publicly, the issues. We're starting to lobby the Saudi government and the UAE, and they're ready to provide funds for the rehabilitation of the Rohingyas back to their homes. It's starting with that. And I remind you again that the Israelis are very, very close to, it's the closest, they have a very close relationship with the Myanmaris, okay? And they do have influence in the United States as a government. Yes?
You keep saying yes like I'm going to say agree yes.
Okay. I'm talking about the Israeli government. Okay. And people don't realize how close they are and they have been to the what you call the generals.
What do we make of that?
Well, they do tell the Americans that these guys are good guys. They are telling them that.
Friend of my friend, if Israel vouches for the generals in Myanmar, then maybe you can turn a corner on this narrative.
Possible, yes.
I have to say, it's quite something. You know, Libya, Sudan, Zimbabwe, now Myanmar, people who are regarded, decried pariahs internationally as warlords, thugs, murderers. I've always wondered this about people in your line of work. Did you ever get one wrong? Did you ever get one wrong where halfway through spinning their narrative, you said, I shouldn't have taken money from that guy? Tell me, who did you get it wrong with?
Haftar in Libya. Yes, we did. We did. Haftar walked into our office in Montreal in 2011 when the revolution in Libya started. He was an American citizen at the time. He walked in and he asked for help because he was part of the revolution against Gaddafi. Yes. But then he was also an American citizen and the Americans were backing him and so on and so forth. But we shared the information that he gave us that he was about to attack Tripoli. This goes back 2-3 years ago, yes? And we quit.
Why?
Because we did not want him to attack Tripoli.
So you've got standards is what you're telling me. If you were to find out that everything you're telling us about the generals in Myanmar turns out to be wrong or they're more culpable for what happened to the Rohingya than you previously thought, you would fire them as clients.
Yes, I would. But I happen to know them for many years. I'm talking about this. Everybody thinks we just out of the blue signed an agreement with them and so on and so forth. Just so you know, we know our company has a history with them, as I told you. Okay. And secondly, in this round, I was in the last month twice in Myanmar, twice, and we spent hours talking to them about how the change would come.
Ari, I find you fascinating. I'm glad to have this chance to have a conversation the likes of which I've never had before.
Can I stop you? Thank you. Thank you.
No, just give me a moment, please. I have serious misgivings about lending my platform to you or humanizing you in any way. These are just words, right? But there's people involved. The people who were killed, the Rohingya, they know who was holding the guns. It wasn't Aung San Suu Kyi. It was the military.
It was her militias.
This is serious stuff. Spin can kill. Do you ever feel like you've purposed yourself in support of bad causes?
No.
You don't?
No. No. I want to say one more thing. The gentleman, the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, was given the Nobel Peace Prize for doing peace with Eritrea. He was given this prize while his troops were massacring the Tigray people. This is factual. This is happening right now. And we recommended against him because we were in Sudan. The Sudanese knew him. But you want to tell me the international community knew better than us to give him, this happened recently, him, the Nobel Peace Prize? Really? We got it right and the whole world got it wrong.
I got one last one for you. You knew Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes.
What can you tell me about him?
He was who he was. He was working for the Israeli government.
What was he doing for them?
Blackmailing people.
With tapes of them with minors?
Correct. That, including that, yeah.
And you knew about that?
No, at the time, no. I knew him because I knew Robert Maxwell. We were working with Robert Maxwell, and this guy was in his office.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn about his blackmail operation?
Later from my Israeli friends.
Ari, those are all my questions. I want to thank you for your time today.
Okay, that's great. But just for your information, a lot of material has come out publicly about our work in Myanmar. As you may have seen, lots of articles from all over. A lot of them criticize us like you tried to, but some of them, the narrative is already changing, but because the truth is sort of coming to light about what the real situation is. And I think if we talk again in 2 years' time, you probably have a democracy in Myanmar.
I don't doubt that what you do has the power to move world events. That narrative and writing a new story different than the story people know does have the power to change governments or normalize or legitimize governments. But I think that there are already different paths to facts. There's journalists documenting things, and then there are military leaders hiring PR agents to lobby for them.
No, we're not PR agents. We're trying to put the facts out publicly. If journalists that want to travel to Myanmar, we're even making it easier for them to travel to Myanmar. They can see for themselves. And see, again, there are a lot of journalists that get it wrong because they sit down in their homes, listen to some of the exciting stories people write, and the whole narrative about Myanmar is wrong. And you guys, when I say you guys, journalists, only 2 months ago were demonizing Aung San Suu Kyi. Suddenly you decided she's the best. How did you turn around so quickly?
I don't know that you ever heard me say either of those things. Do you know that QAnon supporters are online saying that they want to have happen in America what happened in Myanmar?
Excuse me?
That they want to have a military coup in America.
There was no military coup in Myanmar. Please don't try to demonize the generals. This is exactly the type of things you journalists have been doing. Oh, the QAnon. What has to do with the other? If QAnon say some rubbish, do we have to accept it? Okay, please. These guys didn't do a military coup. They took over.
What do you call it? I can't wait.
They removed these people.
They removed. What's the new term?
According to the Constitution, and
it's a military what? What are we gonna call it?
Government changeover. There's a reason for it.
Keep working on it. Keep workshopping it. A government changeover. All right. How about a refresh? You know what? It's a pivot.
There's a reason for it. These guys were in the government anyway.
Right, right.
They were part of the government anyway. And there was a problem.
Yeah.
There was a problem with the vote.
Yeah. It's not a coup. I was here anyhow. I don't know. It just sort of happened.
There was an election fraud, and there's a list 10 million votes that didn't take place.
Okay. Stop the steal.
10 million votes out of a population of 52 million is a lot of votes. These are the minorities that were not allowed to vote.
Ari, once again.
Okay, you don't want to hear the truth. What can I tell you?
Thank you once again.
Okay, welcome.
That's your Canada Land. I think you should help us make it. We want to give you free stuff in exchange. It's really easy. Just click on the link in the show notes or go to canadaland.com/join. And for as little as $5 a month, you can be helping to keep independent journalism going. We rely on your support. You can email me at jesse@canadaland.com. I read them all. We're on Twitter at CanadaLand, and our website is canadaland.com. That's where you can sign up for our newsletter. I recommend that you do. Anita Elash produced this episode. It was mixed by Jeremy Kessler. Our managing editor is Andrea Schmidt. Our theme music is by So-Called. Syndication is handled by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. If you like this show, please support it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.